JG 1.
Number 20A.
We want this afternoon just to have some fun together to think creatively along the lines of this law of interdependence in the world. Because what we're seeing then is that, as we mentioned earlier, that the model of being is really the model of, well, quote-unquote, the future of man, really the structure of man, and that future is now, so we could really say it's a model of the now man. Therefore, that is something that is breaking in on our consciousness in these books like The Cosmic Blueprint by Paul Davies. They're asking for models that they can give which will give them an overall comprehensive view of reality. So therefore, we can see that we feel that this model of being especially is on such firm grounds because it has been an abstraction from revelation coming to the biblical writers, and it took them, as we now know, 3,000 pages in order to explain the subject of the model of being, the structure of being and its laws, because they had to use the symbols of the day, and the symbols of the day were naturally natural symbols. Symbols of trees and all sorts of swords and all that you get in the apocalypse. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The whole Bible just full of natural symbols, as we well know. That in talking in these symbols, it took a lot of stories and allegories and reference to things in order to get the point across. So as the symbols, reality and symbols through the thousand-year periods, where they first had to talk in terms of myths, and first of all, to explain what was going on in being, and then they talked in terms of as they went on, they talked in terms legends. Of legends and sagas, and then into half-true history, and it finally came closer and closer to where symbol and reality is becoming the one thing. As Max Kapler showed in his book, The Spiritual Breakthroughs to the Next Millennium, where finally at that point of the 5,000-year period of Jesus, the symbol and reality became one and the same thing. Christ and Jesus were one, where Jesus really was the expression of the Christ. It was such a closeness between symbol and reality there. And now, as we went on to the textbook, Mrs. Eddy, in 300 pages, as we now know, could present that theme of the structure of being and its laws in only about 300 pages, using a lot more of the method of abstraction, taking out the essence of things. And we know that she did that on the basis of capitalized terms. And therefore, she still had to write to an age of the 19th century, which was still used to a religious language and certainly a poetic language and a flowery language. We know how she said she had to leave a successful career as a writer and then come in when she was came into Christian Science. We certainly know she would have made a success in the world. Principle used such a wonderful, transparent consciousness as Mrs. Eddy was, and certainly was lucky to find quite a writer, wasn't it? She just could put things together through the inspiration of principle just beautifully. When one reads through the textbook, one can never read through it without standing in awe, and just a sentence or a paragraph or just how she explains things is so beautiful. Just so beautiful. as I've told you many times, when I went especially through that sixth chapter and preparing for my classes at the summer school, I could hardly go on. I just was always dumbfounded by, oh, look at how she's saying, like, this tone of mind is mine. And I thought, you've got to get on to mind is spirit. So I'd push myself on. Look how she's showing mind is spirit. Isn't this beautiful? And you'd go on and say, oh, look at mind is soul. And I think, I've got to get through this whole chapter. But every way that she would say it, it really was using the art of epitomization in her time. She had to talk in sentences. She had to write a book. She had to write it linearly. And yet she was giving a structural theme linearly in the most abstract language that she could do, using the essence of abstraction, and yet still make sense in sentences. Terrific genius behind that, transparent genius behind that work. Well, the same with the model of being now. We can see that that itself is a work of genius, being able to abstract now from the capitalized terms into the textbook, this simple one-page textbook for the 7,000-year period. We now know that after the 7,000-year period, we go on into the 8,000-year period of science itself. No textbooks can be written about an experience so vast. One just couldn't put it into sentences. Already sentences bind back to a very linear explanation of things, and Mrs. Eddy did such a beautiful job presenting a symphonic structure in a linear way. But it needn't be done anymore to house a subject such as this 6,000-year period within a cover, that the model of being, just being a sheet, sends us on into no sheets at all. So in order to arrive at that ability to leave even the model of being behind and just be this experience, where after the structure of consciousness and the structure of reality are one, we go on to that 8,000-year period consciousness in our own consciousness, though it's an ever-present possibility, it certainly looks like it's been a development for us. In order to do that, this text interpretation then, as I say, isn't such anymore that we look back, always look back at revealed texts. One loves our revealed texts of the Bible. We love it of science and health, but we just have to face it. The Bible is a phenomenon of the first 5,000-year periods. And it closes, and the textbook is open for the 6,000-year period. Well, there comes a time when the textbook closes and it opens to the model of being. Though it only closes if we have made that our own in consciousness. It certainly doesn't close if one hasn't gone the way. But if we really have gone the way of the Bible and that becomes our structure of consciousness, we must move on. There's something higher. And that's the textbook. And that builds on the Bible. So by studying this textbook, we don't throw out the Bible. We build on the Bible. It carries from. Like Jesus said, I came not to destroy the laws and the prophets, I carry forward. So he came and built on those shoulders of giants. Every scientist builds on the giant that went before. And so we do too. In the spiritual history, Jesus built on all that went forth in the Jewish history before. He didn't throw it out the window. He built on all those first 4,000-year periods. So we then do the same. Now we build on the Bible and the textbook, so we can go forward. Do we feel that's all right? To go forward, if we feel we've gone the way? And yet those who haven't gone the way, like in the introductory classes, I certainly always present, now you take the mind compendium and you study it now with Genesis and see how that is the presentation of the vision of what mind is and what it isn't, huh? The whole system. And then you take the spirit and you study it in relationship with Noah. Story. And then you take soul and you study it with Joshua and Judges, and you take principle and you study it with 1st and 2nd Samuel and the minor prophets, and then the story of life with Christianity and the textbook with truth, you see, and the model of being. And I still would do that today with the beginners, to say, you take this and you embody those books. But we aren't beginners, you see, any longer. We can go forward. So, therefore, this is what we'd like to do this afternoon, to see if we have a sense of tonality in us that can let the tonality, just of the synonymous terms, to begin with, if we can hear it in the world at all. So if we do little exercises together, if we look at the seven synonymous terms, and we'll talk it out, I'm not going to write this down, though I have some things written down of findings that I've done, but just to have an exercise together, if we look, for example, and we'll just throw these things out, we're not going to put them down in cement, if we look at principles, nature as seen in the world today, let's say from the science of all sciences, how may we see the impact of that one mind on world consciousness as it makes its face transition from the physical to the mental? Talking about the nature of mind in the new language of today, what might we put down as a law of mind? What could we say? I can give you some help. It could be maybe the law of divine information. Isn't information theory coming out today? You see what I mean? That's what I'm driving at. How do we see the impact of mind happening in the world today? And how does the world respond back to us using it as part of their everyday vocabulary? So they talk about the impact of an information universe, an intelligent universe, a universe that thinks. We hear the tone of mind, don't we? Any other tonalities of mind? Now, we're not going to tie this in cement. We're just talking about it. Any other tones of mind?
Well, it's still, carrying on that information, it's just assumed the geometric progression of information, so
all right.
We just can't.
Okay, all right, that's
start classifying it.
All right, all right,
so
that's
much
getting
coming at.
Sure, okay, that's getting in the spirit point.
Yeah.
That's fine, okay? Let's say just with mind, there's information. What else are they looking for? In the Big Bang, what are they looking for?
Laws.
Creation, the source, law. The initial cause, always wanting. What? Remember, the Cosmic Blueprint was saying its main point is what is the source of creation? He says there's two big points that central to this book. One is what is the source of the universe creative potential? Mind, huh? You can see they're looking back for some kind of a basis to base everything on.
Is that the good?
Yeah, well, not quite, but
there's a lot of action going on.
There's a lot of action. They're looking for what they call the initial condition. They're looking. Okay, that's all right. That's all. That's good. But you see the method. We're just taking the tonality of mind that we know, the one all intelligent mind that creates ideas. It's a source of being. Mind is all knowing. That tonality can hear. Certainly, simply the information universe. They're looking for the source, the initial cause, things like that. You just hear mind, don't you?
New sources of power,
absolutely. Okay, that's good. Now, with spirit, I think Dave was always saying, well, that information is developing certainly at an exponential growth rate through diversification, classification, individualization. And what happens when that information is ordered through the rhythm of spirit, through diversification, classification, individualization? What word would they use today that arrives at? The big fundamental point that they think is the medium of today, one of the big substance of the universe.
Regenerated?
Yeah, that's a high sense of life. Complexity. See,
code
is one, but they begin to see that this ordering process of diversifying, classifying, individualizing leads to a higher and higher complexity, a point of spirit. Okay, that's good.
What would that do as far as the universe is concerned?
We'll talk some more about it. We're just getting some tones, and we'll start talking about it. Mm-hmm. And then All right, that's good. We'll just keep it simple. We don't want to force these things. It's just one or two points for each term is fine. Then as we come into soul, what might we hear that's going on in the world today that may let us hear that tone of soul happening? What is soul to us, first of all? Soul is identity. Do we ever hear about the identity principle? They're certainly looking for that, aren't they?
DNA,
the identity principle. They're looking for a sense of infinite withinness. What else are they?
Is genetics coming out?
Well, in what sense?
The seed.
Oh, you mean the seed within itself? The sense of self-reproduction, self-generation. Sure, that's the seed within itself. The ability to reproduce itself is a self-similar. See, that's where that word self-similar comes in there at soul. Uh-huh, that's very good. You begin to hear it, can't you? We went out from a biblical term of seed within itself and say we hear that same thing today in self-generation, self-reproduction, a system that can reproduce itself, make itself self-similar. And gee, that's that whole fractal geometry. That's a geometry of the irregular, the geometry of self-similarity. That's, you can hear soul. Because it was a seed within itself, it's sure better than ourselves going out in the world and preaching the seed within itself. And look, you know, who are these people? But if we go out there and say, "Gee, the nature of being is that it can reproduce itself. It's of the nature of self-similar forms that they're seeing today in this fractal geometry, which is complementing the regular geometry of the regular. This is geometry of the irregular, and that's a quality we can see that's innate in being to be able to reproduce itself." We might get some ears that perk up. If we talk that way, but if we always go out and talk about the seed that's in that you can plant and put it in the ground and that seed has a seed, well, they'll think we've been in the woods a long time. The physicists aren't going to pay much attention, are they?
No. But soul renews.
It renews through its self-generation. That's right. That's real nice. Mm-hmm. Michael?
I was going to say, I went to the bookstore and found, remember we were asking where does fractal come from? Practice.
F-R-A-T-U-S?
C-T.
C-T.
C-T. The Latin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which came from the verb frangare. F-R-A-N-G.
Uh-huh.
Which means to break.
To break.
Further, means to create a singular irregular fragment.
To create a singular...
Singular.
Irregular.
Irregular.
Uh-huh. Michael, then, we were wondering about a fractal spelled F-R-A-C-T-A-L when we were working with it in talking about it in that sense of self-similarity, which has to do with then that fractal geometry, which is breaking in the geometry of the irregular. Mandelbrot coined the term fractal for the form that talks about irregularity, and we were wondering what it meant. And Michael says that he just went to the bookshop and could see that that word fractal comes from fractus, F-R-A-C-T-U-S, the Latin verb F-R-A-N-G-R-E, meaning to break.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And to create a singular irregular.
To create singular irregular fragments.
Fragments, uh-huh. Yes, and that fractal then is symbolic for a self-similar form, something that we see that soul has that ability to always reproduce itself, reproduce itself, reproduce itself, reproduce itself, reproduce itself. Okay, good. Now, how about principle? What is principle to us in Christian Science, in our language? System, good. Science, structure.
Governing.
Governing.
Order.
Order in what way, Dick? Order is a quality of spirit, but how does order overform itself to the point of principle? What does it become when it principle.
Ordering, operating.
It's governing that order. It's governing, but it's also order. The order in see, it's interesting today how they define these terms of spirit. Insofar as order, which we saw there just now at the point of spirit, they say that order means, let's see if I can get a good definition of it here. In talking about, like, this is Davies defining these terms in his book, A Cosmic Blueprint. He says, well, order, like in a well-ordered society or an ordered list of names, order means all the component elements act or are arranged in a cooperative, systematic way. So order means that all the component elements act or arranged in a cooperative way. So certainly we know that order is the first law of heaven, because law is based on an invariable order. If the order is invariable from cause to effect, it's a law. If you're never going to break because this happens, you get this effect always. From premise to conclusion, it becomes a law, like the law of cause and effect. In order, for example, when Newton dropped the apple, or the apple dropped from the tree, it was the law of cause and effect. Something falling down, you see, was under the law of gravity. That happens over and over and over again, so that becomes a part of a law. Because of this initial cause, we know that effect's going to happen as it follows an ordered sequence, which is invariable. So order is all the component elements that act in a cooperative way. But, and then it goes on to say that, how does he define organization? He says, organization, so we have one order, that's a quality of spirit. Then we have organization is a quality that is most distinctive when it refers to a process.
When it refers to what?
To a process rather than a structure. Mm-hmm. Organization means the coming into being of order. Therefore, they talk about self-organizing systems, a system that is self-organizing. So a system self-organizes itself into a system or pattern. So organization is the coming into being of order, the self-organizing itself, bringing order into being through self-organization. That's what principle is. Dick, we talked about order there. You were talking about principle as, I think you said order or something. And so I wanted to say, well, the word I was looking for was self-organization, because really it's that self-organization of being that brings order into being through its self-organization. It organizes order to diversify, classify, and individualize itself. And when order diversifies, classifies, and individualizes itself, it brings out complexity. And complexity, they say, has to do with ontology, really the number of the components, and the richness of their interconnection. So complexity has to do with the information content of a system. Well, we can see that complexity has to do with when order, like spirit, begins to diversify, classify, and individualize itself. So the higher thing would be the self-organization of principle is causing order to begin to diversify, classify, and individualize itself. We would say into the seven, the four, and the four. And when you get the seven, the four, and the four, you get complexity. You get the number of components, the seven, in their interconnection, the four and the four. So self-organization makes order become complexity. That's how we rise higher and higher, through See, that self-organizing, non-linear laws they see. So principle being that roof category, which is making order, diversify, classify, individualize itself into greater and greater complexity. Okay, well anyhow, order we saw as a quality of spirit diversifying itself into complexity, but when we came to principle, which is making, governing that, Dick, as Dick said, governing, is the self-organization of principle. It's causing that to help. Its self-government is making that happen, and its self-government is a self-organizing government, isn't it? Okay, good. Good, well that's good. All right, that's all we want. We don't want to force these things. We just want it to fall naturally. Otherwise, it's wild combinatorics, and it's using the human mind to try to analyze it. What we want to do is, as Dorley and Kapler both did in their methods of text interpretation, because they were so imbued with the tonality of the system of reference, that imbued consciousness, the world just responded back to them. Like, I remember Max Kapler saying that when he picked up the textbook, it went very quickly, the structure of it. He could see very easily that chapter. That wasn't laborious. The hardest part was the years and years in the 40s, late 30s and 40s, going over and over during the Second World War, what is mind through the ideas that characterize it in the textbook? What is spirit through the ideas that characterize it? What is soul through the ideas that characterize it? What is principle, life, truth, and love? And then in life experience and practice, going over the tonality and over the tonality, and finally they went over the tonality of the four for operation, and finally over the tonality of the levels, and then like saw like. But it responded. It wasn't trying to figure it out. So that quality of the consciousness of God, when it opened the textbook, just saw it. It wasn't anything that was trying to figure it out. And the same with Dorley. His many, many years there from, well, his working with always Christian Science, but in the late 30s, early 40s, when he started going into the Bible finally, that just resounded within him. I believe once Peggy Brooke had mentioned to me that Dorley would present his classes, I think it was on Tuesday, his interpretation of the Bible. And he had from Tuesday to Tuesday, he had a very active practice. He was at work doing many, many things. And so on one Tuesday, he would present what he was seeing as the interpretation, let's say, just for example, 1 and 2 Samuel, just taking it as example. He'd present that. Then his little scribes under order would take everything that he said and put it into a verbatim report during the week and have it out the next week for them when they came, what he had given the last week. So along with his whole office staff putting together quickly all that he had said on Tuesday so it could be out the next Tuesday, plus having a very active practice and active correspondence and active study, and we know what happens in a week. He often appeared the next Tuesday, she said, without having ever looked at the text. And she said he'd walk in and just begin to interpret the text without ever looking at it ahead of time. She said she just stood there with it. She was his secretary at the time. She said, I don't believe this. But you see, it was life interpreting life. And it was easy because it was that... to him, fortune favored the prepared mind with a consciousness imbued with the categories of being. Those categories jumped out. He wasn't figuring it out ahead of time. Aren't we lucky? Because that came through inspiration. But with consciousness favoring the prepared mind, we certainly can feel that in his work, can't we? Don't we feel that wonderful rightness about the system? Well, that didn't come from the human mind figuring it out. It would have been all complicated. We would have felt, oh, so when you read things that the human mind is labored out, you just kind of drag yourself away from the book. But if it comes through inspiration, it's easy to read, you see. It inspires us. Like Mrs. Eddy said, it took inspiration for her to write the text, and it takes inspiration to read it. Well, of course, capital the same way, with that inspiration coming from fortune favoring the prepared mind with the categories in his consciousness, then like responded like in the textbook, and it went fairly quickly, relatively speaking. Huh?